Well, good morning and welcome to worship here at Greystone Baptist Church on this special Heritage Sunday. My name is Alan Smith. I serve here as the minister to students, and it is my joy and privilege to welcome you to worship this morning. Again, it is our Heritage Sunday, where we celebrate the founding of this community of faith back in September of 1984. And as we celebrate Heritage Sunday, we even have the pyramids. Behind me, you'll see on the modesty railing two pyramids. Those were on both the lectern and the pulpit at the Easter service in 2002 when this sanctuary was dedicated. So we're happy to have them here on this special day as we celebrate. A couple things as we begin worship this morning. I do hope you'll notice the fellowship pads that are seated either in your hymn rack or in the pew at the end. We do invite you to take those and pass those down the row. I hope this gives you a chance to become a little bit more familiar with some of those who are worshiping around you. You'll also notice that there are connection cards in those pads, and we do invite you to complete those cards to the level of your own comfort, be it a prayer request or if you are a guest with us this morning. Again, we're so glad that you are here to worship with us on this special day.
All that is in you, may we give God praise as we stand and sing this wonderful hymn.
Thank you. Good morning. If there's any other children who would like to come and be included, you may come and join us. I wanted to ask you, do you guys know what today is? Anybody? A few do? What is today? Heritage Sunday. You're absolutely right. Do you know what Heritage Sunday means? Okay. So Heritage Sunday is kind of like a birthday. Okay, you know how you have birthdays. Well, this is kind of like our church's birthday. So we're celebrating how long we've been together as a church. So, you know, your heritage might be, for your church, might be all the events that you attend and all the friendships that you've made while you're here, all the connections you've made within the church with other friends. So that's your heritage or your church's heritage story. So, you know, right now we're each making our own church's heritage story. So right now you're writing it, you're attending church and you're attending children's church. Some of you may be in Sunday school. Some of you may go to worship care sometimes. Or maybe you've been at the Easter events or the fall or our children's choir or kids on mission, passport camp. You know, some have even been in baptisms, and everything begins with when your family or yourself, if it's a single person in the congregation, when you came to the church here for the first time. So your story might begin at when you first started coming to Greystone. So Kristen is going to show you her church heritage story. So she's going to give you pictures of when her family first came and all about the things that have transpired since then.
So this is part of my heritage story. These are some pictures. So there's my sister right there, and this was my dedication day. So that was me when I was younger, and that's my mom. I'll see it. There's my dad, and this was back when the sanctuary was in the fellowship hall. That one's me. I'm the baby.
She was only 2 weeks old. Mm-hmm.
That's my sister holding me outside of the sanctuary.
Yes.
That picture is actually right in front of the where is now, you know, out in front of our church, but back then it was all trees.
And this was one of my first Easter Sundays. There's me in my little dress. This is when I got baptized. I was about, I think, 7 or 8. And there's my mom and my baptismal. And these are some of the friends I made from mother-daughter camp. This was one of the first few trips that I went on. And these are some of my friends from Buddy Breaks when I began serving for the church and helping out with those kids. And this is my family also serving with Buddy Breaks, and my sister and my mom. And this was when I was helping with the children's nursery, when I was reading stories to the kids. This is when I began worshiping with my guitar and learning how to play guitar. And this was the children's the adult church nativity during Christmas, and there's Alan. And these are the friends, some of the friends that I have now in youth group, as we've all grown up through the church and had our own heritage stories.
This picture is a picture of Kristen's sister. And this is her showing her journey. The handprints you see on the wall are ones she made when she was a little girl. And as you can see, she's in her graduation cap and gown. And she's showing, her and her friend are showing how much they've grown and all that they've done in growing up here in the church. And so that's the next step in Kristen's journey. She'll be a senior next year. So that's her next step. Okay, so that was Kristen's heritage story, and you've begun yours, and we're going to continue to add to your story as you go through and participate in things here at church. So can you bow with me, please? Father, thank you for making our church heritage stories possible. by inspiring our founding members to follow their vision and take their first steps toward building the church that we enjoy today. We will continue to faithfully strive to serve you and encourage others to follow your example as we all build upon our own church heritage stories that we will share with our families and generations to come. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. You go to your seats. When you are in line getting ready to eat, possibly you can talk to others about their church's heritage story. I bet you'll find lots of good, interesting stories about what brought people here to this particular church, and we'll have a little time, so you might want to ask. Thank you.
The church's mission statement is based on 1 Peter 2, 4 through 6. Let's listen to these words. Come to him, the living stone, who was rejected by people but accepted by God as chosen and precious. Like living stones, let yourselves be assembled into a spiritual house, a holy order of priests who offer up spiritual sacrifices that will be acceptable to God through Jesus, the Anointed. For it says in the words of the prophet Isaiah, see here, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. Whoever depends upon him will never be disgraced. Amen and amen. Let's sing together and share our testimony in song.
It's time to see. When Amanda came to my home and asked me to represent the past, I said, I can do that without a word. Just look at me. But she insisted that I say something. Well, today we are celebrating the 33rd constituting of the church. You know what that means? I don't. But anyway, we became a church. If you were here when we constituted, just raise your hand. 1984, September the 7th. Well, I don't want to talk about that. It's much more interesting to talk about May the 22nd, 1983, when we said that we will go into Northwest Raleigh and establish a church. If you were here that day, May the 22nd, 1983, raise your hand. Thank you. It was such an exciting time. I didn't want to establish a mission in Northwest Raleigh. In fact, I spoke against it. And then God changed my heart. And I said, I want to be a part of it. And so I volunteered on June the 5th, 1980. John Lewis preached a sermon, and he said, you know, you all are already a church. I thought, the man doesn't know what he's talking about. We don't have any constitution. We don't have any pastor. We don't have anything. And he said, you have everything. You have the message from a great God. You have each other. You love each other. And you have a mission field in Northwest Raleigh. And that was true. So true. We were a church. But of course, we did have to have some of these other things. We had to have a name. We had to, at that time, there were separate men and women's mission organizations. We had to decide what we'd do about that, which we decided just to have one. There were so many things that we had to decide, and every one of them caused controversy, but we loved each other, and no one ever said, well, I'm going to leave and go back to First Baptist Church. We made all kinds of decisions, and there were so many kinds of decisions to make. And through the years, we made them together. There was a time when we had liturgical dancing in this church because we made that decision. We had a puppet ministry. We had a class for those that were expecting babies. Some of the things we continue to do, some of the things we don't. But you have to keep thinking, praying together. Jesus didn't leave a blueprint for the church. Wouldn't it have been nice if he had? If he had told us exactly what to do, but he didn't. And so we don't need anybody from the outside telling us. Through the years, we have prayed together and decided what it was that we ought to do. Now, you won't remember anything that I have said. Not many people remember words. But you do remember symbols. There is a symbol. outside the sanctuary when you leave, it is a cross. The cross was made from a little tree that grew on the site. It was carried when we moved after 3 years at Ravenscroft. It was carried into the fellowship hall. And after about 13 years there, we moved into the sanctuary, and the cross was carried. Now the cross is only a symbol, but a powerful symbol of the Spirit of God that brought this church into being and guides us still when we let him. What a powerful message that cross can become for all of us, and lead us on, we pray, dear God.
Of us and offer salvation. has mercy. Every day, every hour, he gives me mercy. I give thanks to thee for all the dangers, toils, and snares that he has brought me out. He is my God.
Todd Worley, and my children are Lindsay and Michael Worley, and we are really happy to be here. We've been here since July 2015 when we started visiting, and we've been members since July 2016. We came here to Greystone after being in another church for over 20 years in a whole other denomination. So we were Episcopalian, Anglican, and now we're Baptist. So it's pretty awesome. When we first started looking around, we went to several places, and I came and met with Amanda just to talk with her about Greystone, and with an open heart and with open arms, she said, you know, I think that God is calling you to rest. I think he is calling you to rest and just be. And I thought, well, nobody's ever told me that before. Nobody's ever told me it's okay just to rest and be. I thought it was do. So she said rest. And I did rest for a little while. Lee Ammons kept saying, I've got your seat in choir. And I said, okay, I'm resting. She said, that's fine. But I've got your seat whenever you're ready. And when I think about this church, I think it all started with an invitation. Our daughter came to the Sunday night youth children's ministry since she was in the fourth grade, and she's a senior now. And so, again, that was an invitation. Lauren and Lee said, hey, why don't you come? And we said, okay, that sounds great. And she loved it, and she came, and she enjoyed it, and was a part of everything. Nobody said, well, you're not a member here, so you can't really come. And nobody pressed us to join. Nobody said, well, you need to, you know, really be a member here if you're going to participate. No one ever did that. It was just an invitation. This church had always been welcoming and friendly when we'd come to hear them sing and do their stuff. People said, we're just glad you're here. Nobody said, well, where do you go? Do you go? No one said that. They just said, we're glad you're here. The leadership here, the staff and deacons, is just full of authentic and compassionate leaders. Nobody's here to get you, catch you. They're just here to love you. And that's really, really refreshing. Invitation. We were invited to every single Sunday school class available to us. Every single one. And we visited. People were kind to invite us. I was then invited to join the choir. I was invited by April to dress as a sheep in the heat of August and dance around. I cut my finger, had a great time. There's still little children here who say, you were the white sheep. But I wasn't pressured. I was just invited. She said, would you like to do it? Sure. Who wouldn't want to dress as a white sheep in the dead of summer and dance around for the children? But it was an invitation. There are never expectations. There's never guilt. We participate here because we want to be a part of this family. We want to know people, and people want to know us, and it's wonderful. And I think that's how it is with God. It all starts with an invitation. He doesn't guilt us. He doesn't pressure us. He doesn't say, what's the matter with you? He says, welcome. He says, come and rest. And we feel the love and welcome of this church, of this place. There are opportunities here to serve, and there are opportunities here to rest. When I asked my children, I said, we communicate a lot of important things through text. Those of you who have teenagers will understand that. So I texted out the family, tell me what it is about Greystone that you love. And my daughter said, well, I really love nannying the Austin children for 2 summers. So that was one of the things that she loves. Yep, there they are. They're awesome. Michael said Unidiversity. And Unidiversity, nothing will come between him and going to Unidiversity, nothing. He will go no matter when it is, no matter where it is. My children learned to hang sheetrock and measure sheetrock. I wish that we'd known that before we renovated our kitchen. But they're pretty good at that. Of course, Todd enjoys the Sunday school. I love the children. Ministry, the Sunday school, I love the music ministry, but mostly I just love this safe place to rest, and it has meant everything to my family and to me. Thank you.
Amen.
Let's be seated as the ushers come forward.
Significant milestones and faithfulness of the life of a congregation require celebration. Today we celebrate the faithful gifts of Greystone's congregation for our ministries and financial gifts and the recent retirement of our mortgage. But before we do that, what would Heritage Sunday be without a little history? So in September 99, the church elected members of a building team to begin the process of expanding our facilities. After several months of planning, the church approved the building team to begin interviewing and selecting an architectural firm to develop a master plan for the facilities to address both the intermediate, short-term, and the long-term needs of the growing congregation. As many of you know, this is not an overnight process. It required a lot of long-term dedication of the team and the congregation. In February 2001, the church approved to proceed with phase one of the proposed facility. The construction would include the sanctuary we are in today, the parlor, the gathering room, the music rooms, offices, along with the renovation of the kitchen and the existing sanctuary, which is now our fellowship hall. The congregation committed to be faithful in prayer, financial support of the building and the construction. At the same time, the Growing Greystone campaign was launched. With the faithful commitments of the members, Greystone was able to then obtain a loan for the construction. 16 years ago, yesterday actually, September 9th, groundbreaking for the new facilities was held. On December 5th, 2001, the original loan note of $2.9 million was signed by our trustees, David Ammons, Ernest Caraway, and Charlie Spar. Charlie's out of town today. I know he's with us in spirit. But if I could ask David and Ernest to please come forward. The first service was held in this sanctuary April 13th, 2003. Formal dedication followed on June 1st, emphasizing the use of the building for worship and in service of God. I would like to share with you a portion written with by Dr. Roger Crook from the Growing Greystone History Book. In his words, the dedication of the new building marked a major turning point in the life of Greystone Church. This building was an achievement, the completion of a project that had been a dream since the days of the mission, and that had been a work in progress for years, a work that consumed their time, their energy, and even had drained their emotions. And now it was finally finished. They had a sense of accomplishment. Yet, the building itself is not an end in itself. It had been constructed for a purpose, and the congregation understood that what they had accomplished was not the end of their journey, but only a move in the right direction. As a people, they would say with the Apostle Paul from Philippians 3, 13 and 14, "This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on for the goal, for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." Today we celebrate another milestone in the faithful life of Greystone Baptist Church. On August 1st, 2017, just under 16 years, the mortgage of $2.9 million was retired. This was made possible by the original commitments and the continued faithfulness of your financial commitments and gifts. In addition to the monthly payments, your additional gifts to our debt reduction allowed us to place another $288,000 directly to the reduction of the principal during the life of the loan. So as David and Ernest retired the note, and I will say we kind of decided we wouldn't burn the note. We didn't feel kind of safe doing that in here today. So as they retired the note, may we remember, just as the completion of the construction... May we remember, just as the completion of the construction was not an end in itself, the retirement of the mortgage is not an end in itself, and what we have accomplished is not the end of the journey. Today and in the future, may we continue to be faithful in prayer and in our financial commitments and our gifts to maintain and use these facilities for worship and to support the future journey of our ministries to the surrounding community as we spread the love and grace of Christ Jesus. Thank you, guys.
in 1988. I was 7 years old. Despite being involved with my churches in Nashville and Atlanta, where I've also lived, I've always kept my membership here at Greystone. And there are many reasons for that, but two I want to talk about today, because they relate to my vision for Greystone's future, which is intimately tied to how I remember Greystone's past. And some of this you've heard from Carolee already. So flashback to 1988, where I was sitting in the front row of what is now the Fellowship Hall, next to Miss Hannah Hills, waiting to join the church. And the fact that I joined the church on the same day that she did was huge for me. I was a little Bible nerd, and I was just so in awe of her as this person who had done so much to shape Baptist life. And Miss Hannah was but one of the many strong, kind, intelligent women who I saw leading our church. Carolee Brown, Nancy Petty, Melissa Austin, and even my own mom, who served as a deacon. These women showed me that I too could nurture my budding theological voice. At the time, I wanted to be a pastor or a missionary. And all of this was when the Southern Baptist Convention was debating whether or not women could even be ordained to ministry. But I had seen women leading our church right here at Greystone. And this church nurtured that in me, not just those women I talked about, but also our pastor, Alan Sasser, who let little tiny me preach on Children's Sunday. And so I was affirmed in this early kind of rabble-rousing theology right here at Greystone. And even then, I knew that what we were doing was radical, and it seemed radical to other people. I was raised in my grandmother's Pentecostal Free Will Baptist Church. Of course, no women were in ministry, and I used to fight with my mom even about wearing pants, which I was not allowed to wear pants to that church. But Greystone was really proud of taking this stand, and I remember being really proud too as a young girl. And that's really the first reason why I stay and my vision for being here. I want to feel that sense of radical love all the time, and I want my daughters to feel it. And I want us to be that kind of radical justice-seeking congregation that has hard conversations and that thinks about, are we really nurturing those rabble-rousers like we did in our early days? I want us to remember that that sense of God's love and justice for all people who are made in the image of God. So I think, you know, about my vision of what would it look like if we were that way for all young people and their dreams and whoever they are and wherever they come from. How can we kind of help to nurture who they are and who they want to be in the world? Because that's who Jesus is to me, and that's what this church has always done for me. So I want to feel that kind of radical spirit that I felt when I was a young person at Greystone. And I want us to have the courage to be authentic with one another and to share what we wish to see in the world amongst each other. Because that is what Christ does, and that is who Christ is in our world. As an 8-year-old girl who felt that her calling was being ignored or even denigrated by those outside of these walls, I think it's our calling to help all people feel, especially those who feel like outsiders, come here and feel loved and uplifted by that same God. So my second vision is also related to our past, and Carolee also talked about this one. When I was growing up, it felt like we were just trying new things all the time. And we were dancing in church. I was dancing in church. We had all sorts of special kinds of music. We had we were knocking on doors, and we were just constantly, it felt like, doing things to push the limits of what it meant to be church and to push the limits of what it meant to worship. And I want us to be that again. And I see it here, and I see that we have so many gifts here. And I want us to come here for not only that kind of spiritual renewal that Elizabeth was talking about before, but also to test our creativity and to think about what would it look like to worship God in new and different and exciting ways. Because that's what I loved about Greystone and when I was a young child, and that is what has always kept me here in this place. And so you all might say, maybe this is some sort of idealist vision, and maybe I'm reinventing history from my childhood mind, but I think that that kind of radical love that is the kind of love that Jesus' followers had in those early days of the church. They trusted each other, they opened their homes to one another, they gave of their time and their talents, and they worshiped a God who said, above all, let us love one another. And the love that I have for each of you and the grace and courage that you have all shown me over these years is what keeps me here. And my vision is that this love multiplies in our own hearts, but also in this community and in this world. Dear God, please let it be so. Will you pray with me? God, you are in this place. You find us when we most need you, and remind us that your love can sustain us even in our most trying times. Be our vision. As we continue your work in this church, help us to know you by showing your love to each other and to those in our community and our world. Breathe your spirit into our lives and in our midst. Revive us. Reawaken us for the beautiful new things that you have planned. Embolden us to show your radical love, exemplified through your Son, the Christ. Give us the courage to dream new dreams, God, but help us to see that these new dreams must always be rooted in your commandment to love one another as you have loved us. Be thou our vision, O Lord of our hearts, and thank you for this church where we have come to know your love. Amen.
I cannot help but remember a few weeks before we would have our first service. We had been meeting as a mission since 83, but then we made the fateful decision to start inviting people to church on the second Sunday of September, not the first, that's Labor Day. And I can remember Joel and Ammon saying, "Oh, I hope somebody comes." And you did. We did not always have this elaborate material in front of me to have communion. On one occasion, I recall, there were just a couple of dozen of us, so we simply passed a basket that had crackers and grapes. That's pretty primary. Didn't have the wine, but we had the grapes. Simple times, simple faith, simple beginnings, but the belief that God would do something wonderful. We had no idea all of this would take place. But God did. And you are here. And the mission goes forward. We were reminded on every occasion that we did have communion, or the Lord's Supper, that on that occasion when Jesus had the disciples together in that room, he used two things to try to underscore in their minds what it was they were really getting into. He used a towel. He washed their feet when they came in. Dirty roads, sandaled feet, you get dirty. You would be reclining around a table. It'd be nice if you had clean feet. So Jesus met them at the door, the basin of water, washed their feet, used the towel to dry them, and simply said, "This is what you must do. Serve it." And then he used the cup. The cup is fellowship. You are with one another for a cause, for a reason. And so it was between these two items, a cup and a towel, they go together. This morning, we celebrate the cup. But after we leave, we take up the towel. Greystone is not the host at this table. Jesus is. Jesus the Christ bids all to come. You are welcome here. If you are his, then all of this is yours. Let us pray. Lord Christ, because of you, we are here. Because of your love for each and every one of us, we are here. Because of what we might become, because of your living grace within us, we are here. May your truth speak to us anew and afresh as we renew our vows to the sharing of these elements. Bless the bread, bless the cup, in your name. On that night, Jesus took the bread, broke it, said, take, eat. And so as he is instructed, the body of Christ. On that night, Jesus took the cup. And encouraged them to share, and each time they did, to remember him. The cup of salvation. And then they left, taking up the towel of service, beginning a lifetime of ministry. And so in that spirit, we say to you, the peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Please stand and express the same to one another.
As you are getting back to your seat, we're wrapping up here. We'll head on down the hall to eat together, fellowship over the meal. If you require extra assistance, this would be a good time to go ahead and slip out and head that way down toward the fellowship hall. May we, as we stand, sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds."
As always, thank you for worshiping with us. Your presence does enhance the worship of all in this space. Just a couple of announcements so that we can head down and eat. Please do join us for lunch today. We do hope you'll stay for our Heritage Luncheon. That's in the fellowship hall to my left. That way, I'm sure you can follow the crowds if you don't know where you're going. Just a couple of announcements about upcoming things. Do pay attention if you are a youth or a student or a parent or also anyone who's interested in learning more about things that are going on with our youth program for the year. There will be a kickoff meeting tonight at 5:00 in the fellowship hall, and we do hope you'll join us. That will include lots of information about retreats and trips and things for the coming year and also ways you can be involved. Do also know we will be starting our Wednesday night programs this week, so I hope you will join us for that. As always, we ask for reservations for dinner, so please be paying attention to that. And for those that may have missed the announcement in our Church in Conference, called Church in Conference on Wednesday night, we did call Dr. Randy Ashcraft to serve as our interim minister, and his first Sunday with us will be next Sunday, so we do look forward to his presence here. Thanks, and let's continue in worship. Now hear this, what will be a very familiar benediction. With Christ as the cornerstone, we will build a church of living stones where every member is a minister and is equipped to express God's love by word and deed to all people. Amen.